Good morning, everybody. This meeting is called to order July 20th, 10:45. Before proceeding with any business, I believe Mr. Smith has a statement to make.
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the office of the Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I would like for this fact to be noted in the official record of this meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we will begin with Finance Committee this morning. Chairman Falcone was unable to attend, so I will call the committee to order, which means that's what I'm saying here. Okay, committee item number one, proposed fiscal year 2011 operating capital budget overview. Mr. Mike Jensen. Mike.
Morning, Commissioners and Chairman. We're going to go over the 11 budget for you. It says it's a workshop, but this is really more of a briefing, so we'll work through this on a high-level summary. Before I get started, I'd like to thank Lance Goodrum back here and Julie Horsley. They were hoping to blend in, but it's kind of hard to blend in. So.
Not a usual group.
So what we'll do is we'll give you a summary of the process that you use to develop the 11 budget. Then we'll give you a couple of summaries on the operating budget and a summary of the capital budget and how the full-time equivalent, the positions, work into that from the appropriations bill. Then we'll very quickly go over, highlight a couple of the riders that we have, and then we'll give you an update on where we're at with the legislative appropriations request that's currently being developed by staff.
So when we say fiscal year 2011, I've been doing this for 8 years, if you guys remember. Are we talking about the biennium, or are we just doing it for the 1 year?
We're just doing it for the 1 year that begins on September 1st. We're about to close out 2010 on August 31st.
Okay.
So the new one will start
in
September.
Okay, so we're going through the one that's already been approved for fiscal year 2011.
Yes, sir.
In a sense, approved by the legislature.
Okay. And we're just going to go over 11 today during the commission meeting in August. We'll give you a summary of 11 and a summary of the LAR at that time.
But I just want to make sure we clarify, but ultimately y'all will need to approve this budget in August.
No, so
this
Yeah. This budget for fiscal year 2011.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The basic method that we use is the same method that we did last summer when we talked about the TAN budget. Mm-hmm. We start with this big fat appropriations bill as the base. This go around, there will be a slight reduction from that because we had a 5% instruction. And so we're going to be at 100% of what we had for 2010, less the 5% reduction that we've already implemented in 10 and 11. Item number three, it talks about exceptional items. That's already built into the base. We built that in last summer when we did the budget for 2010. We've balanced the revenue side of account 9 and 64 for support functions. We do have some divisions that are split funded. That proportion right now is about 53% for Fund 9, about 47% for Fund 64. Point number five up there, there's only going to be supplemental budget requests provided that we have appropriation authority and the revenue to support it. We have a rider 27, which allows us opportunities to grow the budget at times, and there are other riders that allow that. And in this presentation, we prepared the capital budget at 100%. Again, just to summarize, we start with the appropriation bill that the legislature passed. We're an Article 6 agency, so our section is in Article 6 of that bill. We start with that. Then Article 9 is a section of this appropriation bill that applies to all state agencies. We do have a couple of items in Article 9 that add to our budget. And in this current year, Article 12 was the stimulus money. We did have some amounts that were allocated for the department in Article 12 for this current year. We started at $1.7 million. We're actually going to get about $500,000 for patrol boats for the law enforcement division. We do have some rider limits. Riders don't just limit things, but they also grant authority, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And our FTEs are going to be capped at 3,180.3. That's what's in the appropriation bill. But we did have a 5% reduction item that was effective this year, the Canadian River Corridor, and that did have five FTEs that was associated with it. So our cap is actually going to be less five, subtract five from that amount.
So that's taken away that whole project, right?
Yes, in our 5% plan, reduction plan that we submitted to the legislature, we proposed to eliminate that from the budget, including the five FTEs, additional STEs that they granted us.
And was it how much, half a million that we had?
Yes. In the aggregate, it was almost $1 million over the biennium, and from multiple sources. But there was a $500,000 in additional general revenue, I think, Mike, that supported it. And then there were some funds that that we had in other places that they had appropriated to us.
And those were appropriated, but and this is just a question of how this whole system works. I mean, they were appropriated during the last session, and now they're going back into our general budget.
The funds that were associated with general revenue, that's right.
Did we ever receive those funds?
It was part of the appropriation bill. What happened is the Legislative Budget Board and the Governor's Office told all state agencies to hit a reduction target, and that was one of the line items. We'll have a slide that gives you a list of what those line items were. And the dollars also had FTEs that were associated with those dollars. So when we cut those dollars, that's going to have an effect. The LBB expects us to also reduce our FTEs by five.
I think his question, was there actually a $500,000 in funds that were formally transferred to an account that we manage that we are then formally transferring back?
And they were made available in general revenue. So basically, we're just reducing that back. We'll make an entry into the comptroller system that shows all those reductions. We have until August 31st to do that, to true it up, actually make those entries for the statewide accounting system.
Okay. I don't want to bog us down now, but when we get to that, we'll make it.
Okay,
this slide is going to start with the appropriation bill. When you look in the appropriation bill on our section, we start with a $290.4 million baseline budget in Article 6, but we need to do some additions to it because we had some funding in Article 9, $2.3 million that goes to that base. In $1.4 million of that is related to the Schedule C pay increases that were in Article 9. Then we had $825,000 in border security funds, and we had some marine conservation plates, almost $25,000. That's what comprises that $2.3 million amount. During the course of the year, we also do some supplementals and some adjustments based upon the federal funds that come in. I think most of you all know that we had a significant increase in sport fish federal funds, but we did have a decrease. Actually, we had a decrease in sport fish, but we had an increase in wildlife restoration funds. So we have $3.5 million in federal funds that gets added to the appropriation amount. We have appropriated receipts of about $733,000, which is from about 11 different sources. Interagency contracts with Water Development Board and the Forest Service, $61,000. The largest item on here, it's an historically large item, is an unexpended balance forward of capital construction monies of $88.6 million.
Stop there.
Yes.
Help me understand, as you said, unspent balances, right?
These are unexpended balances.
Are we going to get into how much of that we're going to spend in fiscal year 2011? Because I don't want to get ahead.
We certainly anticipated that was going to be a question that you had had, and we had covered that in some detail last commission meeting, but I think it would be good to go over it again. And so Scott and Rich are prepared to go through that with you at whatever level of detail when you want to do that. And so
go ahead. And the reason I'm bringing this up for the commissioners is that's a big target relative to going into the legislature in January, relatively speaking. Unless I understand incorrectly, that's why I want to get clarification. If it's unspent, then can it be either held by the legislature relative to counting against deficit, or actually we lose it in some form or fashion?
So reallocate,
that kind of thing.
Yep.
So I'd like to spend a little time on it. I don't know if we need to spend hours.
That's the same premise I was getting
on your situation, too. No, I agree.
Yeah. Well, the high-level answer to that is if it goes back to the legislature, then they can use it at their discretion, whether they choose to spend it or reallocate it or allocate it back to us, which is probably the most unlikely of scenarios of all of them.
Even if it's been voted on and it's by the voters under a bond situation.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. It would go back. Now, if the legislature chooses to repurpose the use of those funds for something that was not approved by the voters, they would have to go back to the voters.
Okay, so they're not going to do that, so they should probably more than likely just hold it. Maybe Jane or Scott, you know, I mean, what's been their history? I can't remember in 2003 what happened. Did they just...
Well, money that has been issued to us at least in a... For the record, my name is Scott Borff, Deputy Executive Director of Operations. Mr. Historically, at least over the last 10 years, all the bonds that have been issued to us, we have kept and we have expended. Okay. And I can at whatever...
slow down or in any of our spending, or were we able to keep going as we...
No, sir. In fact, as you may recall, over the between 2000 and about 2008, we were expending about $20 to $25 million a year in bond money, which was a pretty good clip for us. We had a good track record. At your direction in 2008, we went back to the infrastructure division and tried to figure out a new model that would allow us to encumber funds more quickly.
Right.
And the good news is in the last 2 years, we've been encumbering around $30 million a year in construction funds. So we put together a new model. It's in its second year. It's looking pretty successful right now in enabling the agency to encumber funds quicker, because we hope to go back and ask for more in the future because we have a big backlog of repairs.
Okay. And the battleship Texas money in
there? Yes, sir. It's in there.
Big chunk of it. And
I'm prepared at your discretion to share with you where we are with all the construction UB or the money forward. It might be better to do it in one piece at either the end or now or whenever you want us to do it.
We can do it when we come.
We have another slide on capital. We can do it there unless you'd like to do it now.
But we do need to spend some time on it because it is such a big chunk of change. We worked so hard to get it. We get the voters passing on this.
And you will get questions about it from the legislature.
Put on hold or whatever. Okay.
And the largest portion of that amount is there 64, almost 65 million in general obligation bonds. That's what comprises most of that.
Good.
Then there's a couple of other items, about 6 million that are appropriated receipts. Remember, the Friends Group donated almost $4 million for the battleship.
Okay.
And then there's some Cedar Hill State Park had another $1 million come in. And then there's the donation that was recent for the Game Warden Training Center when you were out there. That's another piece that's going to be unexpended balance forward out of appropriated receipts.
So most of that can't be grabbed by the legislature.
Well, certainly.
Donated or, I mean,
you're right.
Types of those funds.
The appropriated receipts bring their own appropriation authority, so if they come in, we can expend those however we choose.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're right, those are separate and apart.
The appropriated receipts are very flexible. So.
Yeah.
And we do have on this slide fringe benefits and benefits replacement pay. When the legislature publishes this book, it's a different color every 2 years. In this purple book, they do not account for fringe. So this presentation does account for the fringe benefits and that cost that's incurred. So it's budgeted in here as a separate line. And that's usually a reconciling item when somebody takes this bill, the General Appropriation Act, because it's really not included in there.
Commissioner Duggan wants to read that. Can you get him a copy?
You can borrow mine. I have an electronic copy.
I actually do have a question, though. Why is it not included?
Why is it not?
Yeah, it's a big chunk of change.
You want to come up, Gene? That's probably an answer that the legislature had to provide you. We don't have a good answer.
Gene McCarty, Deputy Executive Director for Administration. I really can't answer your question. That it has never been, fringe has never really been appropriated to the agencies. It's always out there, and it's always paid kind of as a. I guess I'd say it's appropriated to the elements in which it's spent. For example, ERS, Employee Retirement System, which is where most of that money goes, so it's kind of appropriated to them, not to us.
That's true of all agencies.
That is everybody.
It's
all state agencies.
It's all state agencies.
Okay.
And
is it in there? Is it included? Ultimately, is that $41 million in there somewhere?
In that book?
Yeah.
It may be. No,
I don't
it's
think
not
so.
In there.
I don't think so. I don't think it's in there.
And
so
for
look at our $422 million at the bottom there, though, in the past, I mean, we always counted it being part of our budget.
We have to include it here. The reason we have to include it here and be very visible is we have dedicated accounts. Many state agencies are just pure Fund One. So when they're paying salaries, their fringe is going to be covered by Fund 1. Whereas when we're paying salaries out of Fund 9, Fund 64, we have to pay. They have a rule, it's called benefits proportionality. So if you have multiple sources of funds that you're paying salaries on, then you have to pay the fringe on those multiple sources of funds. It's less of an issue for the Fund 1 agencies and more of an issue for us. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's not in here. Many of the other agencies, most of their salaries are paid out of Fund 1 as opposed to dedicated accounts. There's one more line item on here. It's the 5% reduction. We have a reduction in 2011 of approximately 13.9. And the current year, 2010, we have a reduction amount of $8.3 million. And
this has already been approved by LBB. I mean, we know this is going to be the number.
Yes, sir.
Fiscal year 2011.
Yes, sir.
I'd say it's 98% approved. There is one thing. We'll get to a slide that we'll discuss, a certification for Fund 64, Rider 27. But I'm going to advance to the next one. This slide shows you the reduction amounts for fiscal year 2011. We actually have 8 items on here that total up to $13.1 million, but you'll see an adjustment on the bottom. When we were preparing the base reconciliation, we sent that, staff sent that to the Legislative Budget Board. They suggested that we need to get a certification out of Rider 27 for Fund 64. So staff prepared a letter, and we've gotten a response from the Comptroller's Office, and they've approved those amounts that were in the appropriation bill, approximately $386,000 for each fiscal year for Fund 64. We're in the process of waiting for the Legislative Budget Board analysts to contact the Governor's Office to see what impact that might have for us, what leverage we might be able to use those funds for a reduction or for some other strategic purpose. But if we go through here, item number one is the GLO transfer. And what we did on that was about a 5% out of the total amount, about $1.3 million. And the second item is the data.
Folks remember that's for the coastal erosion account that transfers to us. Okay.
And that's going to reduce the base. So at this point, we started from 25 million less 1.3, so the base for the next biennium is going to be 25 less 1.3. Item two is the data center consolidation. These were additional amounts that were required in order to pay the contract that's been in the news. Item number three we mentioned earlier is the Canadian River Corridor, $228,000. In 2010, we reduced $267,000. So the two amounts.
Let me go back on the data center consolidation. What's the status of that? Is it done?
No, it absolutely is not. Right now, the state of Texas through DIR is in a major dispute with IBM Team for Texas with respect to specific performance levels. And so they have given IBM 30 days to fix it, whatever that means. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Now, we expect the data center project in some form or fashion to continue, but my guess is it'll look very differently than what it looks now. So there may be other contractors that get involved in providing bits of it. DIR may decide to take on more of this. Some may go back to the agencies.
Now, will this affect our licensing abilities or anything
of
that?
No. This has to do with, IBM was hired to manage a process to transfer all of the servers and data storage capabilities for the 27 participating agencies to two major data centers, one in Austin, one in San Angelo. And they are, after 3 years, they're about 10% complete. IBM was also tasked with providing then customer service to the agencies to help with management of data, and that's been a perennial Achilles heel for this this project. The customer service levels associated with this contract have really been unacceptable by everybody's standards.
But our cutting back to 1.1 is not going to interfere with our ability to do business?
No. No. We had originally proposed we just cut the data center project altogether because, as I think you all recall, we have realized appreciably more costs associated with this transition to the tune of three or four times what we were paying before. this reflects basically costs that we don't think that we're going to have to pay as part of this contract, and so therefore we're
Carter, can I add that?
Sure.
This 1.1 is really, they're so far behind in their contract that had they been on schedule, it would have cost 1.1, but this is a $1.1 million expense in 2011 that's not going to be incurred because they're so far behind. But if this contract continues and we're a part of this contract, somewhere down the road, that cost is going to be incurred down the road. But it's not going to be an expense in 2011 just because they're behind.
They won't get to it.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make. These are transformation costs that we're going to, that we were going to incur to transform our information over to the data center, and they're so far behind on that we're not going to have those costs now. We will have those costs probably in 2012, 2013. So we're going to have that in our LAR as an exceptional item to get that money back. But we don't have it now, so we might as well give it up as part of the 5%. Process, but we're going to need it back in the LAR.
Give us something we're never spend and don't want to spend.
Yeah,
you got to give up something.
Carter, do we have a standalone contract with IBM, or are we part of a larger contract?
We're part of a larger contract, and we have an agreement with DIR, but DIR contracts with IBM to provide services under a master contract.
So in terms of who would take any legal action if it were warranted, it's DIR that would make that call.
That's right. Yep.
Carter's on the board.
Well, I'm just making sure that we're...
You know, he's the one overseeing all that. Doing a fine job. We appreciate it.
It would be DIR and...
Your accolades are appreciated and acknowledged.
Commissioner Duggins, Ann would probably add the Office of Attorney General will get pulled into that if it was going to be litigating down the road. But
I just want to make sure somebody was looking after whatever our contractual rights were. And if it's DIR, that's fine. I have total confidence in Greg Abbott and his office to do whatever is appropriate. But I just want to make sure it wasn't a standalone contract.
Yeah, Megan, I don't know if y'all remember. I can't remember if all of you were. Monica's probably here. But anyway, when we first went on this, we actually were given extra money because it was going to cost, and there was no doubt in our case it was going to add to our costs.
Right.
Some supposedly were going to save money. To my knowledge, nobody saved money, but so some agencies were supposedly going to save some money, the large, very large agencies. In our case, we were going to, remember, we got allotted at least in one of the legislative.
In both,
we got
both the
we
last
were actually given some extra money to go with this program. We didn't. We weren't interested, but it didn't. We didn't have any choice. So, did that happen last? I can't remember if that happened in the last legislature. Cause that was previous.
No, we got additional funds last
both
session
times,
too.
Both last three times.
And I want to clarify this. We got additional authority last session. So
we got authority to spend both 64 and fund 9, both of our dedicated accounts. We got authority to spend them.
And they finally went public. It's been a disaster for a long, long time. Really, probably since it started. And behind the scenes, there's been a battle going on, and then it just showed up in San Antonio paper last week. So obviously, the state's taking it to a whole other level and going public on it. Then IBM obviously is already fighting back. They claim, you know, it's working, and at least in the article that I saw in the San Antonio paper.
Yeah, there's a big dispute, and
big
certainly
issue.
The
IRS
is pursuing this aggressively. No doubt about it.
Is this money we're contractually obligated to spend?
Yeah,
when we get to that point, it's just a postponement.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a postponement. Yeah, but it's basically a fee for service model, and we have to pay for all of the services we use under the contract, including every byte of data that we produce. We have to pay a certain rate to store that. So, to some extent, for a science-based agency that is responsible for collecting lots of data, there's a disincentive to collecting data because you have to pay for the storage and protection and security of that. And that's one of the challenges associated with this agreement.
Item number four, you have a comment, Commissioner Bivens?
No.
Okay. Item number four is the local park grants. In 11, the reduction will be $5.8 million. And a lot of that was authority that we had in 10. For example, the Bexar County Special Needs Park, and there were a couple directives for Missouri City. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was an opportunity to utilize that, that authority for a cut. Item number five is Rider 27 Merit Program, $2.3 million. And in 2010, there was also another $1.9 million that was tied to that cut. Item number six, Capital Construction. In 2011, the cut amount is $1.4 million. In 10, the cut amount that was planned was $4.4 million. And then we had the letter back from the governor's office saying you have an exemption for $3.9 million. So that reduced 2010's target, but don't mean to cloud the issue. Let me go to item number seven. In 2011, that reduction is $881,000. In the current year, it was a reduction of $822,000. And item number eight is a $100,000 reduction to the current project for automation for the administrative and accounting system. We have that adjustment that I mentioned before with the LBB, and if we crosswalk to what we also did in 2010, there's an item nine, an operations reduction of $815,000 out of this year. So between the two, the target that we hit was $21.4 million. The original target was $24.8 million, but they gave us that exemption for capital of $3.39 million. This big pie chart gives you a graphic image of our source of funds and our method of finance. You can see that the largest piece of this pie is account 9, Game, Fish, and Water Safety, $128.8 million, 30%. The next piece is general revenue of $113.9 million, or 27%. And I'm going to make a couple comments on that one. That looks large, but really what that is general revenue that comes to the department that then gets transferred into a number of different accounts, primarily Fund 64. We'll have a transfer of $52 million into Fund 64. We'll have a transfer of $7.7 million into Fund 467, which is the Texas Parks and Recreation account. It's pass-through funds for grants. Then there's account 5004, which is a capital account, which receives $1 million. Then there's the large community and municipal fund, which was created this last session, which receives $5.1 million of that GR. Then there also included in this GR is important to mention that we have a piece of fringe. We have to budget the fringe when there's salaries that are tied to that. And there are some small pieces of construction unexpended balance in that amount. Account 64 has, before that transfer, has $44.9 million in it. It will more than double when that transfer is made from GR. Federal funds, $54.4 million, and we have other, which is appropriated receipts, donations, and some bond interest, and other GR dedicated is $5.1 million, 1%.
And federal funds, is that what little stimulus money we got, is that in there? Or did we already spend that?
We only received $500,000. Actually, we
didn't get much.
We received $500,000 in stimulus money out of the Burns Access Justice Grant to purchase patrol boats.
Right.
The department also applied with the comptroller's office and got approximately $75,000 as an incentive to purchase fuel-efficient, green, hybrid-type vehicles. So we're going to purchase, I believe, about 19 vehicles. So of the stimulus money, we really have about $570,000 that we report to the comptroller.
Most of
this number is that in 10.
That's in 10, but if those boats have not been produced, so it's going to be unexpended balance forward. I mean, the funds are good for the full biennium.
So most of these funds are the Pittman Robertson, Dingle Johnson,
right,
federal excise taxes.
Yeah. We can probably move through these slides fairly quickly. It's just basically showing you how the numbers fall out with respect to the amounts that are for each budget category. We have salaries and other personnel costs. That's between that and capital budget. Those are the largest pieces of our operating budget. Salaries and other operating, $148 million, 35% of the budget. The capital budget, $125.3 million, is another 30% of the budget. So that's 65% of the budget just between those two items. Then we have $82.8 million for operating. And grants, local park grants, $17.5 million. Benefits are $41.6 million, and again, that's one of those fringe items that we need to keep track of, and we do keep track of. And debt service is $7.4 million on the older bonds that were issued a long time ago.
Mike, does the $17.5 million for park grants include the $5.8 million reduction?
Yeah, the reduction has already been made. This is the balance that's available within that fund right now.
But what I'm saying is, but for the $5.8 million proposed reduction, would that number...
That would be higher by $5.8
million.
Mm-hmm. And then on the salaries and personnel costs in fiscal year 2011, how does that compare with the prior period?
I could say I'll get back to you, but I think I have the slides from the August Commission meeting. I'll flip through and try to find it for you quickly.
Well, I'm just trying to see in general terms if it's substantially different.
I remember we added parity dollars.
It's slightly higher this time around, but we also had targeted pay increases across the board for the biologists, the scientists, and the natural resources folks, as well as all across the department. So in 2010, we started at salaries and other personnel costs of $146.3
million. Okay. That's
so we're at now at
148. Push more in the last legislation was the parity, you know, to try to get the focus on wildlife biologists and then on that side of the equation primarily. But
yeah.
Should be in this 10 and 11.
Yes.
Good.
The next slide, we'll break it down by division for you. On this first slide, these are the smaller divisions for the department. Administrative resources, that's the division I'm responsible for, $9.4 million. Coastal Fisheries has $18.9 million, and they're heavily federally funded. Communications is $9.5 million. Department-wide we call it a division, is basically a place where we segregate money that benefits all of the different divisions for the department, and it also has a place, we have a separate slide for that, so we'll get to that, for a strategic reserve for the executive office. The executive administration executive office has $3 million, human resources 2.1, information technology has 12.9, infrastructure 7.9, inland fisheries 20.1. I go to the next slide. We have the three larger divisions plus the capital and the GLO transfer accounts for about 72% of our total budget. Law enforcement's $58.4 million, legal's $1.1, state parks $92 million, local parks $18.5 million, wildlife $30.3 million, capital construction $98.4 million, capital land acquisition $11.4 million. Of that, $9.3 million is the funding from the Eagle Mountain Lake sale from years ago. And the GLO transfer is $11.3 million.
And the 98.4 includes the 25 million for the battleship?
Yes, it does.
Is there any reason not to footnote that? Because it seems like if we leave it that way, it looks like we're getting more money when that money's been appropriated years ago. It seems a bit misleading just how generous. I think we'll have a footnote there. I suggest we consider
it. We'll consider doing that. We also have a couple additional slides just specific to capital, and it'll be clearer to see where it falls in there, more clear. The next slide is going to break down the department-wide budget for you. Like I said, this is a placeholder that benefits all the divisions of the department. Debt service is budgeted there for the bond, $7.4 million. We have payments to the license agents, the various partners who sell hunting and fishing license for us across the state, $3.7 million. And the license system is $3 million. And to go back to Commissioner Bibbins' question, Verizon is the service provider who does this, and they're not housed within the IBM. So that's not going to be a problem for maintaining the level of service we have for our constituents. State Office of Risk Management, that's $900,000. This is a payment that all state agencies have to make to SORM. They're a branch of the Office of Attorney General to cover like workers' compensation type things. Airport Commerce Park is a facility we have about 2 miles from here off of Highway 71. That's the rent. The general budget here is basically the strategic reserve for the department of $2.5 million. We have $295,000 for the automated financial system. And we have $200,000 budgeted for claims and settlements. Riders 14 and 30, $160,000. Riders 14 is for license plate receipts, and Rider 30 is OHV, Trail and Recreation Area Program. and we have $64,000 for the motor pool for a total of $18.9 million. Now the next couple of slides, this may be where Scott comes back up to the table and talks a little bit more detail than what I can on construction. This slide is going to show you the capital budget by categories, as well as the unexpended balances that are associated with each category. So we have construction and major repairs, a base amount of $9.8 million, with a UB amount of $88.6 million. And as we mentioned before, a good portion of that, $64 million, is related to the general obligation bonds. Construction and minor repairs is $3.4 million. Land acquisition, we start with 2.15 plus the Eagle Mountain Lake unexpended balance move forward for a total of 11.45. Information technology, most of that 4.8 million is related to the data consolidation contract with IBM. I think before that contract, the department was able to get its work done on approximately 1.2 to 1.6 million. So that just gives you an idea of the increased costs of that contract. Transportation items, vehicles, and conceivably some boats, $5.6 million. Capital equipment, $1.5 million, and the master lease for improvements that were done to this building to reduce the expenses they put in window film. There's a payment of $0.13 million that's scheduled each year. So that's a total capital budget of $125.28 million.
I have a question. On the Eagle Mountain money, how much longer can we hold on to that money before we have to spend it?
Well, so it's a very good question. You know, our goal has been to get those funds obligated by the time the session rolls around.
And if we end up at a point that we lose it.
Yes, you could. That's a worry.
Mike, what I think we'll do, unless the commissioners object, is come back at the end and have Scott and Rich talk about the capital construction program and the UB program and how we're going to deal with that. So
okay.
Y'all are okay with that?
Let's make sure in that we talk about battleship, okay? This thing just drags on and on and on. In 8 years, we're still talking about nothing's been done. So we need to talk about it.
Real quick, what is the Air Force Commerce Department?
It's a facility that we have a number of different divisions. Our part of our communication divisions over there, our training and human resources is over there, and it's about 2 miles from here off of Highway 71. It's over by Riverside Drive.
Our OTT people are over there too.
They are operational, yeah.
Refreshed to that OTT.
It's relatively new. That's only been leased for about 2 years now, isn't that correct? Okay. I'm going to advance to the next slide that talks about the number of employees that we're able to have according to the appropriation bill. In the current year of 2010, we have an established cap of 3,178.3. What the department does is we know that there's going to be attrition. People leave, people retire. So we budget approximately 4% higher than that so that we come as close as we can to hitting that target without exceeding it. In 2011, that cap is going to be 3,180.3 according to this purple book. However, we already have implemented a 5% reduction to Canadian River Corridor, which did have 5 FTEs. So the legislative oversight is going to expect it to be 3,180 less the 5. So our adjusted cap is going to be 3,175.3. We are still budgeting at approximately 4% higher, but we cannot exceed 3,175. And what Gene and I are hearing from the other agencies who are preparing their LAR, there's been a lot of questions from the governor's office about these types of limits on employees. I've seen about three or four different agencies that had a series of five or six specific questions going all the way back to 2005 in terms of FTE caps and limits and what the fill rates were. So we have not yet received those questions, but we're anticipating that we probably will receive those questions.
I mean, which way is he driving? Trying to look at it lowered? I mean, help me understand what the questions are coming. What do we mean?
We're not sure, actually.
Well,
from the line of questioning, you can't tell whether they're driving to reduce the cap or eliminate the cap, or whether the cap is effective as a budgeting management tool. You can't really tell from the questions. They're just looking at what the agencies trend has been in terms of total FTEs.
On this subject, though, one of the things we've been thinking about in the upcoming session is, for example, our intern program. We hire interns, which are a critically important part of the agency, as you know. Those hires count against our FTE cap, and some agencies have exemptions of their intern program against the cap, and that is an issue that we're interested in exploring with the legislature, with y'all's consideration and approval.
Okay. I'll move on to the next slide. It's going to show you the breakdown of FTEs, budgeted FTEs by division. Administrative Resources has 138, Coastal Fisheries 201, Communications 85, the Executive Office 35, that also includes all of our internal auditors. Human Resources 27.5, Information Technology 90, Infrastructure 137, Inland Fisheries has 225, Law Enforcement 657.5, Legal 11.5, Local Parks 17, State Parks 1,352, Wildlife 319.5. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these riders. I just wanted to kind of walk you through their importance. I mean, we rely heavily on these. For example, rider number two is our capital budget. That really tells the commission and the rest of the world what we have for capital, including construction. We have a rider seven, which is unique to Parks and Wildlife. Many agencies do not have this ability to have unexpended balance authority between biennia. We have that in Rider 7 for construction projects because the life cycle of construction is 5 years. Rider 11 provides some guidance on debt service and lease payments. Rider 16 gives us direction on payments to licensed agents who sell hunting and fishing license for us. Rider 17 allows us to use funds, federal funds or appropriated receipts, donation money for capital purposes without counting against our cap in the capital budget in Rider 2. Rider 24 is the funds that we receive, sporting goods sales tax, that we are then directed to pass to the General Land Office. Rider 25, I put this in here because we got the invasive species money, $750,000 for aquatic vegetation last year as well as in 11. Rider 27 is important to the department, specifically in the past, because we're able to get additional appropriation authority based upon the revenue that comes in for Fund 9 and 64. Rider 28 is an informational listing on sporting goods sales tax. Rider 31 gives direction for the GO bonds. Rider 33 kind of ties in with what Carter said about the full-time equivalent employees. That allows us to have a full Game Warden Academy without them counting against our FTE figures until they've graduated from the academy. So for the first 9 months that they're being trained, they don't count against our cap. In the LAR, when it comes to riders, there are a couple things that we're suggesting that may be considered. One is program income. When you have a piece of property that the federal government contributed to, they feel that they have an interest in it. So if you do another piece of work on that property, they consider that a federal interest program income. And what we want to be able to do is to have appropriation authority for what they consider to be program income, so that the piece of program income we can then put it back into that project and spend it. Right now, we do not have that ability, so it dilutes the power of the federal funds that we have when that instance occurs. On average, I think we have approximately about $3 million, correct, Gene, in program income per year, so that would improve our ability to better use that $3 million if we had appropriated authority. So the second item Carter already mentioned is an FTE exemption for interns, teacher retirement system, and tech stock.
What do you mean better use that $3 million? I don't understand that.
Well, you actually get to have appropriation authority for the revenue as opposed to losing appropriation authority. What happens is federal funds bring their own appropriation authority, but when they get treated as program, or when you have program income, you lose that authority. So if you can get a rider that allows you to have that authority to spend it, then you could better utilize it.
You can put that back into the project. The program income, it really dilutes. If you have $1 million of federal funds,
yeah,
and it's in an area and you generate $100,000 of program income, the effective value then of those federal funds is $900,000. You can't use that $100,000. If we had the appropriated receipt authority, we put it back in and we can spend it back on that project.
Right.
Right now we can't do that because we don't have.
Add it to the, let's say you appropriated a million. You make it to $100,000. You spend a million.
You really can only spend the million. What happens is you don't lose the $100,000.
And a third item that's out there just for discussion is we do have the Game Warden Training Center. It might be nice to have a rider that allows us to effectively feed them, buy food. There's not a statute to prevent state agencies from buying food, but there's an old Attorney General opinion. So every state agency is afraid to buy food because they get audit exceptions when they're audited because of that old Attorney General opinion. But if you have a rider like DPS does for their academy, it makes it easier to do that. And I think it would be easy to do this for the Game Warden Training Center, but we have other facilities down the road in the future if we could flesh that out and just allow the department to be able to acquire food and prepare food when it's appropriate to do so with the funds that we have, to have the express authority to do that. It helps avoid appearance of impropriety or possible audit findings.
So would you just focus this on the Game Warden Academy or all of the above?
This go around, we're just looking at the Game Warden Academy.
Okay. Probably get the foot in the door because...
At least you had the precedent there with the DPS.
Yes.
Yes. Because we were looking to find something similar from any other agency, right. And I couldn't find anything specific to food, or there's things about meals.
So if you go over there, you can't eat.
So, I mean, just to put that in perspective, we've got cadets that are there for 7 months, and every breakfast, lunch, and dinner while they're there, they have to cook their own meals, and they're going through very rigorous physical training in addition to all of the studying they have to do. And it's important that they have balanced meals, but yet they're sort of on their own. The other side of this is, you know, for example, let's take state parks, where you have friends groups that come out and give us a huge amount of volunteer hours at, say, Palo Canyon.
Right.
We can't buy hamburgers or hot dogs to cook them to say, thanks for coming out this morning and helping us build a new trail. So those are the kind of things that we're interested in exploring with the legislature on maybe getting some dispensation for.
And so at the training center.
So the cadets right now have to bring their food and buy their own food and cook it, or they drive into Star and eat at the little cafe, or if they can do that. I mean, it's a
three meals a day.
Well, if they want to eat three meals.
No.
Yeah.
Most of them do. They're young. They're working out. They're hungry.
I didn't
know.
We should charge them for weight loss programs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why don't we ask the AG to revisit that old opinion if we think it may be unsound or outdated?
It was a 1965 opinion. They were apparently mad at the governor at the time, and that's the gist when I've read it.
Yeah. Well, there are not that many people that have a need for this, I would assume. Is that part of the issue?
If we ask for a revisit of the opinion as to this agency and as to the DPS because of the unique situation, we might get a different opinion.
No way.
And?
Hi, Ann Bright, General Counsel. That's definitely something we could do. I would want to also go back and just look at that opinion again. I suspect that the basis of it was that, and it goes back to sort of a very basic tenet of state government, is that you can only use state resources for state purposes. And I think most of the instances where someone is talking about buying food, it's usually not for state purposes. But in this instance, I think we would have a really good argument that it truly is for state purposes. And honestly, I've not looked at that opinion, at least not in recent memory. So I'd want to go back and look at that. And you're right. I mean, I think we probably could make a very good argument that there is a state purpose in using the funds for that way.
Let's do that and talk about it, because I think
there's sort of two issues here. One is just sort of the statutory and constitutional use of state funds. The other issue, and this, and that's why I want to go back and look at the opinion, is the appropriations issue. Because there are a lot of things that are that might be illegal use of state funds, but you still can't use it unless it's appropriated back to you as a state agency for that purpose. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, for that part, we're trying to do the right for the free, but and maybe you can visit, and once you look at it, maybe also visit with DPS, see how they're handling it, too. I mean,
absolutely.
We assume they're doing the same
absolutely
thing. Let's find out, and then maybe there's a way to approach CAG's office. I mean, this is a requirement to become a game warden, so, I mean, that they're, these individuals are, I mean, it's a state requirement.
Exactly.
License, absolutely.
Everything else goes with it.
And I also...
I have no idea.
I didn't either.
I also seem to recall, and Walt may know about, have more on this, but we did have an issue with some of the inmates that were working on our properties, in that the corrections department, CDCJ, was really more willing to let them go someplace that was going to feed them. And so that was a problem for us at one point. We may have been able to work around that in some instances.
It got resolved, I think.
It did.
Yeah. And Chairman Holtz, the DPS, they actually have a rider. What they do in their academy is they have a reduction from their pay, an emolument, that then funds whatever cafeteria they have, their food. So that was a starting point for us to look at. But long term, we have other facilities, and I think it'd be, if we can get our foot in the door and have something that has express authority, it would make it easier than to build on that down the road.
Yeah, no, I don't deny that. I think we can also look at it from the legal side of it, too, particularly relative to this particular situation where these people required. Well, God, when we moved out of Austin, they must have been really ticked off. We've all been out there in Hamilton County. I mean, we're paying for the gas to drive the 25 miles to go eat hamburger. I mean,
why don't we do this as the next step? We'll look into the legal authority here and take a look at that. Yeah, and then also then look at the appropriations issues, and we'll come back to y'all with a recommendation as to how you think we ought to proceed. That fair?
I have three more quick slides for you before we turn it over to Scott and Rich. Just a quick update on the legislative appropriations request. We always call that the LAR. The first thing is just to remind everybody, the baseline request cannot exceed the current biennium baseline, less than 5%. That's the starting point. We start with what we already have, and less than 5%. And any amounts above the base are going to be considered exceptional items. And the executive office is still discussing what those may be or may not be. And I have the next slide will kind of give a list of where we're at for right now. And we have prepared a supplemental schedule that has a 10% reduction. The very last slide that we'll show you will show those target amounts that we're supposed to cut in the next biennium, 12 and 13. The LAR is going to be due on Monday, August 23rd. Some options for exceptional items that we have here, this is in no priority order, is look at capital construction, capital development, land acquisition, automation and technology that will relate to what you saw in the past for the law enforcement folks for their vehicles. Outreach to new constituents, and the data consolidation contract.
So I think just a little background on this, and obviously y'all are cognizant of where the state is with respect to the expected budget deficit. So, you know, this is not a very timely session to be asking for anything in addition when we are being asked to put together a schedule to cut our budgets by 10%. There are some kind of core things associated with the agency's mission, for instance, like the capital construction that we've been steadily building on, very consistent with the State Parks Advisory Committee recommendation to the commission that the commission took forward, that you know, we'd hate to lose the ability to secure additional capital construction dollars to fund deferred maintenance issues at our facilities. And so, you know, those kind of things we definitely want to talk to y'all about as we prepare the LAR and decide whether or not to request that as an exceptional item. Gene and Mike touched on the data center consolidation contract is, you know, the deferred cost that we are not expected to expend in 11. We do expect to expend in 12 and 13, and if that's going to be the case, we're going to need funds and appropriation authority to be able to handle that. So We certainly are very, very aware of the climate in which we're operating in, but we just wanted to make you aware at high level the kind of needs that are out there, and then have a conversation with y'all about whether or not we can or should pursue any of these.
This is the very last slide on this presentation. This shows you the 10% reduction targets that we have. For general revenue, the calculated amount is $20.2 million. General revenue dedicated, $28.6 million. So the total target reduction amount for the next biennium is $48.8 million. And that footnote's pretty small. It just points out that we have GR and GRD. Proportionality between the two is encouraged, but it's not required. So we're not going to have to strictly give 20.2 out of GR and 28.6, but we do have to hit that target of 48.8 between the two. And I'll just leave it at that. If there's questions that you have on this specifically or any other slides, I'd be happy to try to answer them before capital comes up to the table.
Are y'all comfortable with having Scott and Rich come forward to talk about the unexpended balances and kind of our capital construction program and where we are, and talk about the battleship?
Yeah, I mean, we all knew this was going to be this kind of meeting. I mean, we need to talk about this capital expenditures. It's so hard to have. What to do with it. Okay. Well, let's get black. Somehow maybe it's down to jobs or something.
Mr. Chairman, Commission, once again for the record, Scott Boriff, Deputy Executive Director of Operations, and with me, Colonel Rich McMonagle, Director of the Infrastructure Division. High level, I mean, just to refer back to one of Mike's slides, we're looking at probably an $88 million UB going into 11. And rather than try to line item you to death here, I wanted to give you the big picture, and then if you've got specific questions, we can answer those too. Of the $88 million, 27 and possibly $29 million of that is battleship related. You will recall that we got a $25 million bond. We had a commitment from the Battleship Texas Foundation to provide $4 million in match, which is a total of $29 million. We have already received $2 million from the Battleship Texas Foundation. We anticipate receiving the other $2 million in the next month or two. So depending on whether that $2 million hits this year or next year, it'll be $27 or $29 million that UBs. So that's a pretty big chunk of the $88 million. In addition to that, you may remember that relative to Proposition 4, which was a bond initiative approved by the voters of Texas, the second tranche of that bond was issued early this year in April, not so early, just a couple of months ago, and $34 million of that $38 million will UB into next year because we just got it. We're not going to be able to expend it by the end of this year. So now you've got almost $30 million with the battleship. You've got an additional $34 million in Prop 4 bonds that are going to UB. That's $63 million right there. We have about $6 million from the previous tranche that is going to UB forward in capital construction. So that brings us up to almost $60 million. And then we have $8 million, as you will recall, we got $12 million for Galveston and CRIM in the last session. We are moving, and that was primarily for master planning and design. There was no construction money in that money. We are in the master planning piece of that, but about $8 million of that $12 million is going to UB forward because the design process won't be started or won't be completed by the end of this fiscal year, next month. So if you take those four items, $27 or $29 million for the battleship, $34 million for the tranche we just received, about $6 million from an earlier bond issue, and the $8 million, you're talking 78 of the $88 million is captured in those four items. The other $10 million is scattered amongst some Fund 9 and federal funds and those kinds of things. So the big picture is, I think we've been doing a pretty good job. It's a big number, and we always have to explain this as we go into the session, but I think we can pretty easily explain the reason that this has not been expended. I'll reiterate just briefly that we did change our model to try to be able to expend more. It looks like the model has been successful in the first year and a half. We're just coming up on the completion of the second year. We do believe that given $88 million UB this year for capital construction. Unless we get lucky and get some new money, we believe going into the biennium that number will be down around $58 million, so a $30 million reduction going forward when we come back and do this presentation next year. And that will still be the battleship, point well taken. The battleship probably will not be completed until 2014 at best, assuming we don't run into any more opposition from former friends groups.
Where are, let's stop with that.
Yes, sir.
Where are we on the battleship? Are we in studies? Are we doing engineering? I mean, where are we with this battleship?
Right now, Chairman, we are in negotiations with the designer. So we have gone out for proposals from a number of firms. We have selected a firm, and based on that selection, we're in negotiation with that firm about price and work.
Price and work to do the work?
To do the design.
Do the design.
What do the design means? What's that mean?
Well,
design, what are you designing?
Well, there we had, as you recall, there were four options that were given to us about different methods for doing the dry berth. So what the design company, the first thing they're going to do, this design firm, is they're going to look at those four and maybe come up with another. But within the first 6 months, they are to provide to us their decision about, or their recommendation about which is the best of those methods to do. Once we have done that, then we go out with that design scheme and we do all of the natural and cultural resource clearances that are required, and because there's federal money involved and the ship is through the Department of the Navy, we have to adhere to federal law. So we're anticipating that'll be about 2 years in order to do all those clearances. We'll then give the firm another year to complete their design based upon all of that. So that's a little over 3 years, and then we have 18 months of construction. So and, of course, that's all best case. If we run into opposition or problems with the clearances, especially the environmental clearance, that could stretch from the 2 years that we've scheduled out to five or more.
I would remind the commission that we, at that same site, at the San Jacinto site, 7 years ago, 6.5 years ago, we received a federal grant to build a visitor center out there. We have yet to do the design on the builders on the visitor center, because of the opposition of one small group that opposes that. And so it is an intensive bureaucratic process at the federal level that we have absolutely no control over. And that process requires the opportunity for the public to have input. And so when you have one segment, be it small or large, of the public that opposes it, it slows down the process dramatically. So just as a reminder, I mean, we're 6 years into that project and we've yet to do the design. We're only really 2.5 years since this bond was issued into this, for the battleship. So 2014 is an optimistic estimate of when we might be done with the battleship. So you're going to be hearing about this probably for the rest of your tenure on this commission.
I'm telling you what.
Yep, eight more to go.
Figuring out how to give it back to the federal government. You can just say, I mean, this is the never-ending project. Never-ending.
I think the brighter picture, if I might, for just a moment, is that...
Yeah, it's a brighter.
Yeah, I'd like to end on a positive note here, Chairman. We have, I think, developed a system here that allows us in good faith and good conscience to go back to the legislature and in times when there is money available, say to them that we can't expend more than $22 million a year. You'll recall that at the legislature's direction, we contracted with a group who came in and said, in the best case scenario, we're falling about $32 million a year behind in capital construction. We have many hundreds of millions of dollars of backlog repairs. But if you look at today's picture, in the best case scenario, $32 million a year, we're falling behind in capital construction. So even at $22 or $25 million a year, which has been our track record over the last 10 years, if you accept the study, we're still falling behind $8 or $10 million a year. And so our hope was to at least set the stage to go back to future legislators and say, you know, we need $30 to $35 million a year just to stay where we are, not to catch up on the backlog, but just to stay where we are. And I think we've at least set that stage. It's unfortunate timing given the economic scenario we're facing, but I think we've evolved a model there that allows us to at least keep up. And as we go forward, may well allow us to start catching up if we were given more than $32 million a year.
Well, you don't know yet, excluding these.
Excluding the battleship and all these. I'm just talking about our Fund 9 and Fund 64, normal repairs. Most of those, as you recall, about 80% of this money goes typically into state parks. The other 20% goes into wildlife management areas and fisheries. Now, I'm excluding fish hatcheries and battleships. Those are obviously big ticket items that drive the raw numbers, but I'm talking about our normal routine maintenance, major repairs.
Let me ask for some clarification on the battleship issues here. The commission wrote a letter to Senators Cornyn and Hutchison urging their assistance. That was in connection with the visitor center, correct?
That's correct, correct,
right,
Commissioner.
So what's the holdup on the clearances sought in connection with the dry berthing design as distinguished from the visitor center?
None at this point, because we haven't gotten to that stage. So we're still in the hiring the designer part of that project. Once we hire the designer, then part of his design process will be to get the clearances that are required.
But has there been some reason why this hadn't occurred over the last year or two?
No, sir.
Well, let me put that into context, Commissioner. The process, once those bonds are issued, is about a year-long process before we can go out and negotiate with a vendor, and which we're in right now. So we have been for the last year out there trying to get to the point we are now. So I don't want you to.
So have you been precluded because of the lack of funding in proceeding with the vetting of the design
yes.
group?
Yes. Remember when this is one of the things I think that confuses all of us. Certainly did myself when I came in. When you go into this next legislative session and they authorize bonds, it may well take a year and a half before those dollars hit you. And you can't go out and contract and encumber that bond money for any kind of activity until you actually have the money in the coffers. So there's quite a delay sometimes from the time that the legislature says you can get the bond and the time those monies actually hit your coffers.
All right, but we now have the funding to proceed to select the design firm, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what's the timing on recommending the selection of the design firm so that they can move forward with the options for the driver?
Well, we've already gone through the early phases of that. We had to go out for a request for proposal. We had to go out first for a request for qualifications. It's a multi-tiered process. So first you go out and say, who's qualified? And all the firms send you their qualifications. Then you ask for a specific proposal. Then you go through the negotiations, which is where we are now. And assuming you can come to a price that's reasonable and we think we're getting the best value for the state, then you issue the contract.
But I'm asking you, what's your projection of when you'll bring to this commission a recommendation on selection of a designer and entry of a contract?
I hope to be under contract with them within 2 months. Depends on how this negotiation goes.
We looked at the design options a long time.
Yes, sir.
What you looked at was the results of a study that we had done prior to this exercise. We had gone out and contracted with a marine engineering group to come back and give us some ideas about how we could take care of the battleship in the long term. They came back to us and recommended 4 potential solutions. And I believe that's probably, Commissioner Bivens, what you're referencing. We brought back to the commission at that point those 4 recommendations, and that was the basis for which we went to the legislature and said, here's what we think could work and how much it might cost in the bigger picture. So there was 2 years of preliminary work that went into convincing the legislature to fund this thing, and it included the study that I think you referenced.
Well, and those were conceptual designs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were not designed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I think we ought to be able to, now that we have the funding to move forward on selection of a designer, surely we can get this process jump started and do it sooner than 4 years.
Well, we would be glad to share with you
steps that have to go through that.
Maybe in the next, maybe not August, but the next meeting is all the timelines and stack it up. Remember, you've got the issues because it's federal. We've got multiple issues that are layered.
Clearances,
environmental issues. Actually, the U.S. Navy is going to still be involved. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So now you have a double whammy. It isn't just the normal environmental issues. Now you got the Navy got approved relative to them still on the ship or having control of the ship. So you see what I'm saying? So now you got to go to the Pentagon, and that's probably 2 years. They were saying 2 years of just trying to get the federal permit, even if we already have the design. They got to okay.
And that's if there's no opposition.
Not include the opposition, which will be there, no problem. At least by that one group.
The other thing is, as a part of this, being able to move forward on the design, selection of a designer, and the designer then comes back and reviews the four options and perhaps another option too. It seems to me, given the amount of time that's expired, we might want to revisit the number that we gave the legislature, because I don't think that number is realistic anymore. I don't know that, but I'm just suggesting that as we're going into the LAR, we could adjust that upward if appropriate.
Well, not this round.
No,
Chairman,
you want
to have the design. Secondly, you can't. Why go into a round where they tell you they got $20 billion deficit? Secondly, it's what? Remember, the first $25 million came from a bond voted on by the public. And it was raised about $4 through donations, or will have raised $4. No, I don't disagree. By the time you actually start building this thing and doing it, you may need more money, but.
This is not quite the logical process you might assume.
Well, I guess what I meant, I didn't articulate well, it should be at least note that this number was approved X number of years ago, so there's some indication of the date or not. I don't know whether you do that or not. You wouldn't?
No. And in fact, I'm going to say this because it's going to come back to us later. We're dealing with this now in the visitor center that I referenced earlier. We got a federal grant for that visitor center 6.5 years ago, and with construction costs notwithstanding the economy where they are, we already believe we're not going to be able to do what we thought we would do. Infrastructure's already going back and reducing the scope of the building in order to keep it in budget. Relative to this one, I want y'all, a lot of you were not here when this money came around. We originally asked for $52 million for the battleship. That was the first number we floated downtown 4 years ago. And through the process of give and take, we were told what we would get. It was not based on a true estimate. We were told, you're going to get $25 million. You'll go out there and do the best you can with $25 million, and don't come back and ask for more. We have a letter to that effect from the governor's office and the lieutenant governor's office. We'll give you 25 if you don't come ask for any more. So just to make sure that the commission understands, those were the parameters under which we got this $25 million. It was not an estimate on our part that would take $25 million to fix the battleship.
Twice that. So the issue is going to be is go through the design process, permit, and by then you're 2 and 4 years from now, and then you may have to go back and you use what you're saying, inflation costs, construction costs, inflation, those kind of things. So we understand you don't want us to come back, but this is the reality. This is the only way the ship's going to be able to be saved.
Well, I wasn't aware of that history, but I'm glad
to
know.
There is some sense of urgency.
Well, there certainly is, because the battleship continues to spring leaks.
The last hurricane scared the hell out of us.
Those listings.
We're pumping 24/7. The last hurricane, when I came through there, we were really worried about this thing. There's no doubt about it. There's real potential of thinking it ended up in the middle of Houston Ship Channel. So I plan on not being the chairman.
You can't leave.
I'm out of here. Yeah, I tell you what, I'm not having that on my watch.
I think we came about a foot and a half from there when that happened.
No, I'm serious. We're not kidding.
Yeah.
Well, there was a recent leak where, fortunately, one of our colleagues noticed that leaving, and he literally stuck a rag to stop the leak.
This thing is completely rotted out underneath. Paper thin. I mean, you can actually punch your fist through so far. So, I'm not kidding. This member was made with the thickest steel ever built. They don't build ships like that anymore. and it's just rusty. You know, it's been sitting in salt water from 1910 or whenever they built it, darn thing. So no, it's just a major issue. It's one of the ones that just hangs over the parks wide, unfortunately, the park side of it, the main difference TPW. And it's just going to be there for a long time because of all the everything, the issues of the actual problem, okay, and then the fact you have so many groups involved, everything from the federal government, and it isn't just one part of the federal government, it's two parts, DOD and I guess
Navy.
DOD would be Navy, but who's the other side? Would be the
no, sir. Federal Highway Administration is involved with the visitor center.
Federal Highway Administration. I mean, you see, it's a huge bureaucracy. See, each one of them has to approve. So they're going to have to approve the design. Once we get to the design, whatever we decide in floating this thing or somehow getting out of the salt water, and then we've got the state, you know, all the approvals we have to go through on the environmental issues. And so anyway, it's, like I say, I've been here 8 years, and it's been ongoing since I've been here.
Notwithstanding the frustrations of these big, unique projects, the real benefit, the hope of the agency is that we can continue the major project, a stream of funding. To us, that's the most critical. You know, we've been pretty lucky in the last decade to receive, on average, $20 to $25 million a year. We're not really catching up, but at least we're putting our finger in the dike. If at some point we stop getting those bond funds year after year, we're going to be in serious trouble. I mean, it's, you know, we're looking at multi-hundreds of millions of dollars of backlog right now. We've got our finger in the dike with this $27 million a year. If that suddenly stops, it will be bad news for the agency.
Is there any hope that we can move forward without having to deal with these opposition groups?
No. That's the right of the public to come in, and they have the right to do that.
I wonder if it's going to pick the time and probably file suit. Just since, of course, you know how long that can last. Because they pretty much told us what they're going to do. Maybe they'll pick their time.
It's a shame.
It is a shame.
Another hurricane by help. That works really well.
No.
Let me retire first.
That thing ends up. Yeah, Lord, I remember Ned Holmes when he was here saying, "Oh my God!" I think we had a presentation about theoretically that could happen. Yeah. I mean, it's a little more theoretical. I mean, there are certain conditions that could happen.
Well, remember Hurricane Ike, you know, it sits on monopoles, and the storm surges came in at 16 and a half feet. The monopoles allow for an 18-foot play. So you had on this World War I era battleship, you had exactly a foot and a half of sort of leeway there. So that's a very real consideration.
So I think we have.
May not go far before it sinks. So that's the only thing.
Yeah. It's right there on the edge of the channel.
If it backs up 15 feet, it's in the channel.
Oh, then we can get the divers over there.
Oh. Yeah. Really, I look at the United States group that doesn't want it there. You know, they want us to move to Galveston or something and say, oh, yeah, that has no bottom. You're going to somehow move it out the end of the ship channel and try to move it to Galveston or wherever the hell they want to move it. I mean, it's not movable, really, except by force of nature. I mean, as humans, we don't want to even mess with it.
And those are all the San Jacinto?
Now, there's one group, and they're not officially designated group at this point.
That's correct.
They
were historically a friends group with the authorization from the commission. They are no longer a formally sanctioned friends group of this agency, is approved by the Parks and Wildlife Commission. They still remain in a separate advocacy group and take on projects related to what they feel is the welfare of the San Jacinto battleground.
As a battlefield. Mm-hmm. They don't want any part. They don't believe that the battleship should be there.
Right. Or the visitor center.
Or the visitor center. Yes.
Or the monument.
And the record should reflect that, as we understand it's a small number of people, local, but small number of people.
Yeah, they have a friendly lawyer as part of the group. Pro bono.
Be glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
While we're talking about this, why don't we talk about another one, Scott and Beer, the Eagle Mountain Lake situation relative to those dollars in a general term. I think we've done that here.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly going to have a discussion with you all in executive session about the opportunity.
Sorry,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is on the budget by category, isn't it?
Yes, it is. UBI. Yeah, the one thing I can't say to the public, I mean, that's a place definitely where the legislation draft. So.
Carter, can you feed us?
Right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
Or do I have to chip in?
Oh, you mean, can I feed y'all? Well, the way that we have handled that is actually through the Parks and Wildlife Foundation. And so the foundation can feed you. And I can certainly feed you personally.
Hey, man, you should be the other way around.
So you've been saying that, thinking
about
that.
You have to build up the foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since you're in charge of the annual dinner this fall, Mr. Bivens reminded me he's expecting caviar.
I think we should build a McDonald's at the beginning.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, that might be the next step. 16th.
So I guess, Chairman, I think
you.
Next would be if whether or not you want to turn it over to, you want to complete this committee's work and then turn it over to Chairman Bivens to take us to executive session for the Conservation Committee. We've got two items in executive session.
All right, executive session. What else do we have in this appropriation?
That's it, yeah. Unless y'all have got some more questions or there's anything you'd like to visit about.
Okay. Any other questions from anybody about anything? I'll move the group down here.
Is there any reason to update us on the oil spill? Or not?
It's not on our agenda, so yeah,
I dropped it.
Okay,
but we got the look.
We grabbed me in the hallway.
But we are in pretty good shape there, at least on the Texas side. We can just leave it at that.
Any other questions or comments on this? We'll start soon. The Finance Committee has completed its business.